Case and Gregor Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev, where right now prices are reduced by $7,500 or more on 2017 Corvette Stingrays with 0% financing for 60 months. Winter pricing in August at Lakewood Chev. Let's get to our big guest of the day, brought to you by Alberta Mortgage Funding. If you have equity in your home or other property, AMF can arrange financing for any purpose without checking credit, income, or employment. Apply online at albertafunding.com. Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us once again. Woodley, how you doing?
I'm good, Tommy. I'm curious, before we get going on goalies, we've had some unseasonably but fantastic weather here. I came out of the rink after playing my first late night skate last night, and it was like 22 degrees at midnight last night. So what is great weather in Edmonton looking like right now?
Well, it's good. Today, I think it's 23 right now. It's supposed to be 28 later this week.
Ooh, so. We topped 30. We've topped 30 this week a few times. So it's, I don't make jokes about global warming, but if this is it for our region, I'll take this part of it. Let's put it that way.
Now, let's start with goalies and maybe goalie coaches, because Francois Allaire retired. Right, and I don't know if there's been a goalie coach who's had more of an influence on that position than him. Do you think his resume would have him down the road potentially as a candidate for the Hockey Hall of Fame?
Screw down the road. He should be the first guy in as soon as he's eligible. I don't know what the, I don't know what the criteria is for eligibility in the builders category. That's obviously where he goes in as a coach. But now that he's made it official that he's retired, whatever clock needs to start ticking, as soon as it's done and ding, ding, the alarm goes off, he should be in. And I think to understand, for a lot of people, he was originally sort of the father of the modern butterfly, accurately so, for his work with Patrick Waugh. Was tied closely with Patrick Waugh and Jean-Sébastien Giguère, who I had a chance to speak to this afternoon after this was announced. And maybe negatively, after the time in Toronto, was seen as being too rigid in terms of some of, the butterfly style and blocking style that became associated with Giguère. But to me, that's just... what we think of most recently about him is just not an accurate picture. And some of the negative stereotypes that came out of that time when in Toronto with Brian Burke sounding off as he likes to do, and things like him being, calling Allaire a dinosaur, too much of that sort of been attached to him. And maybe you lose sight of just how much a pioneer he was and how big an impact he had on the game. When we talk about that generation of French Canadian goaltenders, it wasn't just Waugh. It wasn't just the goalies who became a goalie because of Waugh. Roberto Luongo is frantically trying to avoid a scary hurricane right now in Florida as he prepares for the season with the Florida Panthers. And sent his response to me was an apology that he couldn't talk because there was some apprehension about what was going on around him, but wanting to make sure that he sent a quote about the impact that Francois Allaire had on his game. And, again, it is pretty strong stuff. Sorry, my apologies, but I'll give you the word. Like, Frankie was the most important person I've had playing hockey in my whole life. I wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for him. He had that much of an effect on me growing up as a young goaltender, young teenager, learning to play the position. And I think when you get that from Marty Biron, who we don't associate with being an Allaire goaltender, but who evolved his game under Francois Allaire, another guy I talked to this morning, Giguère, obviously the stereotypical Allaire goaltender, but a whole generation of French-Canadian goaltenders who made that province one of the top producing, sort of areas of NHL goaltenders for so long. I mean, his impact on goalies alone should get him in the Hall of Fame. But then when you see how he's influenced the modern game from a goalie coaching perspective, even more so. A lot of people forget there were goalie coaches before Francois Allaire, but they were all been there, done that, old school guys. We think of Bernie Perron coaching with the Flyers. Jacques Plante was a goaltending coach after he stopped playing. But again, a lot of this is how we did it when I played someone you could talk to, all important roles for a goaltending coach, but not what we think of as the modern goaltending coach. And that's what Allaire brought. He was the first one to come into the league, not having played in the league. And that was not easy to do. Another guy I talked to about this was Mitch Korn, who I think should probably follow Francois Allaire into the Hall of Fame, along with his brother Benoit Allaire and Ian Clark, who's currently with the Columbus Blue Jackets. That's kind of my Mount Rushmore first in Hall of Fame goaltending coaches. Frankie paved the way for coaches like that, for coaches like Clark, for coaches like Mitch Korn. And that's what Mitch Korn said. He started in 91 with the Sabres, and he very much felt that resistance to somebody being a part of the team that hadn't been in the NHL as a player. And without Allaire blazing that trail with Waugh and the butterfly style in the mid-80s into the 90s, maybe that job opportunity doesn't exist. And now take a look around the league. Take a look at Dustin Schwartz in Edmonton. Take a look at Jordan Sigley in Calgary. The number of goaltending coaches that played the game but didn't make the NHL necessarily, guys who are changing and pioneering the position, is prevalent. There are more that didn't play than did play. And I think Francois Allaire deserves a massive, you know, a big part of the credit. And last but not least, equipment. As much as the NHL has spent the last few years trying to put that horse back in the barn, Francois played a massive role in equipment. And it's not just the blocking, fill up all the space stuff that we hear about. It was adapting equipment to fit to the style of goaltender and actually working with the equipment companies to produce equipment that would allow goaltenders to move in this more efficient butterfly pattern that he was helping pioneer and create. And as Jiggy said, I said, I don't know if that's going to get him in the Hall of Fame or kicked out of the Hall of Fame. And he kind of laughed and he said, yeah, maybe that's true. They want to, you know, they want to get rid of a lot of his innovations. But you don't, you know, Jacques Lemaire isn't taken out of the Hall of Fame. He doesn't lose credentials because he invented the trap, right? So from equipment to impacting goalies in style to creating, basically being the first modern goaltending coach in the history of the NHL, clearly I'm a little passionate about this, but to me, Francois Allaire should be a no-brainer as soon as he's eligible for the Hall of Fame to be in the Hall of Fame.
Kevin Woodley from Ingle Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Kevin, a lot of camps now, the goalies, they're back in town. A lot of players are going to their respective cities. And it's interesting, you know, the players like it. Do the goalies really like it, these kind of just impromptu, shinny games where, you know, they'd probably rather spend a few weeks working with their goalie coaches? Is this almost a negative time for the goalies? Well, the players like it because they get up to pace and skating and shooting, but, you know, there's not a lot of structure out there.
Yeah, you know, it is an interesting time. It's kind of that transition between doing your work in the summer with your private coaches and then you kind of head back to team camp. And now there are a few situations where, you know, team personnel are on the ice with the goalies, and that can be a positive. But for the most part, until you get to camp, there's some separation there. Now, like I said, some teams it's public. You see it even on their own sort of social media and stories that they write. You see the goalie coach right out there with the NHL goalies in some of these informal sessions. Others I know, you know, do it, but a little more behind the scenes out of fear of CBA repercussions, because there is some language in there that everyone interprets differently. And others don't do it at all. And for the ones that don't do it at all, it does become a little bit problematic, because you're transitioning out of that very specific goalie coach position specific work into, like you said, more of a free-flowing environment. Now, the one thing I like to note is that most of these sort of informal skates that are happening, you know, in NHL cities everywhere right now as guys come back, have evolved over the past few years. It's not just shinny for an hour. They typically start, and they will often hire coaches, and again, this is where some of the team personnel sometimes play a role, sometimes not, but they will hire coaches to be on the ice to run a practice-type session. It's funny, talking to Carey Price and a couple of the other guys, some of our shooters up in Kelowna recently, they actually have that throughout their sessions in August, where the first part of the session is like a practice, like an NHL practice. There's drills and line rushes and all the things that you would expect during an NHL season, and then they play shitty. The problem for goaltenders, and we've discussed this many times over the years, is like most NHL practices, even the structured stuff isn't necessarily good for the NHL goaltenders because structured, yes, but game-like, no, and it puts them in situations where they're facing a lot of just point-blank opportunities that the shooters probably aren't going to get again all season once play actually begins, but goalies are facing them 20, 30, 40 times in these skates. And then you add Shinny on top of it, which, you know, a lot of goalies have moved away from in their offseason. This used to be, and for some it still is, a regular part of offseason training. But more and more guys have kind of found that, listen, Shinny is so wide open. Shinny is like an all-star game. Shinny is what hockey could be if we didn't have coaching to coach the offense out of it. Wide open, backdoor opportunities. And the reality is with the skill level and speed of the players both skating, passing, moving the puck around, you can't really keep up with that as a goaltender without some of the structure to be able to count on taking certain things away. And so what happens? You get tired of, you know, not cheating and staying with the shooter on every two-on-one only to have him slip it through an imaginary defenseman to the backdoor tap-in every time, so you start cheating. And a lot of goalies have talked about bad habits forming in Shinny. So for the most part, some guys aren't really good at focusing on their game and not cheating and just accepting those goals and just, hey, like, I'm going to play my game and not cheat and not abandon the system I plan to use in the season, but it can be hard. So we've seen guys move away from that, and that's where this week is tough because it's not just that they get pulled back into it, even the guys who do have access to goalie coaches in that city separately, but I've seen situations where guys, you know, are being asked, you know, by teammates and new teammates, especially going to a new team, you're trying to meet people and make a good impression, like, hey, come on out to the skate, come on out to the skate, and they've got an opportunity to have goalie-specific session elsewhere, somewhere else in the community at another rink. And when they say no to the shinny skate, to the pro skate, and yes to their goalie coach or their private coach or that opportunity, they take some heat. You know, teammates give them a hard time because, of course, NHL shooters want to be shooting on NHL goalies. And, you know, unless you're a veteran established guy, telling your teammates, no, sorry, skating with you today is actually bad for me once the season starts, that's not an easy thing to do. And so sometimes guys get caught in a situation where they're doing things the week before training camp opens that aren't necessarily good for their game.
Yeah, and then, you know, I'm sure they can pick it back up once they get into a training camp. But some goalies, depending, they'll bring their goalie coach with them even to these skates.
Yeah, we do see that a little bit. You know, it's, again, it can kind of be a fine line. But again, like I said, in some situations, the team goalie coach is right out there with them and nobody hides it. So it can be good to have that extra set of eyes for sure. It's great. The ideal situation to me would be get your, you know, if that ice accounts for some goalie-specific time or warm-up patterns where, you know, maybe they're running the regular practice or before the regular practice and before the shinny, and you're doing some goalie-specific work. I think that's your ideal situation. Sort of add that goalie-specific element like you would during a season before practice. But in a lot of cases, once the shinny breaks out, having an extra set of eyes, you know, the goalie knows when he cheats. The goalie knows that the key is not doing it often enough in shinny, and I think a week isn't enough, like you said, to create those habits. But guys used to do this for a month at a time or all summer. And that's when habits in terms of cheating and looking off the puck and sort of, you know, tilting away from the shooter to the backdoor early, that's where those types of things can get you into trouble. So for the most part, in a week, you're not going to build a ton of terrible habits, but it doesn't take long for them to creep into your game. And then you're trying to put something back in the box once the season starts in training camp. And, you know, again, if you're a young guy especially, trying to make a quick impression or heading up to a prospect's, you know, one of these development prospect tournaments right away, any bad habit that kind of can creep into your game early and you don't have time to erase it amidst the hustle and bustle and lack of goalie coach time once training camp starts, no, that's not a positive. That's a negative. You want as few of those negatives as you can heading into a season.
Quickly, who's going to be the starting goalie in Vancouver for the majority of the season?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think that Jacob Markstrom has the inside track based on his history with Travis Green. I mean, he got him to a Calder Cup final in 2015 together in Utica, and he showed, and I've talked to Travis about that for NHL.com preview stuff, and the fact is that was sort of a similar step in his career. At that time, he needed to prove he could dominate the American Hockey League and make another step, and he did. And so as a coach, you have that track record with a guy, you got to think that gives that guy the inside track. That said, neither one of these guys have done it for a long period of time. I'd argue that Nilsson's month and a half stint ahead of Cam Talbot in their first season in Edmonton together might be more experience in that number one role in terms of over a long period of time than Markstrom has at any point throughout his career, at least in the NHL. And that could come into play, because if Markstrom goes through similar growing pains, and we've talked about it before, managing your rest, managing your game, finding that balance when you're playing every second night as a number one is a process guys have to go through. Jacob's never had a chance to go through that before. Nilsson has. And that might end up being an advantage to him as this moves on, because as much as familiarity might give Markstrom the first opportunity, I don't think there's a big gap between these two goaltenders. And with a team that talked rebuild and is now bringing in veterans like Thomas Vanek and Henrik Sedin today saying what would make this a successful playoffs, and then the one-word answer was a successful season, and the one-word answer was playoffs, there's not going to be a long rope. This is a coach who wants to come in his first NHL job and win. And if the guy who's done it for him before doesn't do it early, the other guy's going to get an opportunity. And I think that Nilsson, as much as both of them have question marks surrounding them, Nilsson has a little bit more experience answering those questions for a long period of time. So I know I just sat really heavily on the fence with a leg on each side there, Jason, but I guess the short answer is Markstrom early, but with a short leash, and Nilsson might have an opportunity before long.
Kev, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you next week. Are you heading down to Penticton?
I am not certain yet. I've seen enough of the Okanagan with goalie stuff, and I'm still working on those details, but I'll let you know.
Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Jason.
It's Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com.